Daftim Gimel Amid Beis, seven lines down from the top. Eloli Olam. And the Gemara is focused on the Brisa that was brought on Daftim Gimel Amid Aleph, which gave two cases of Maisa Sheni that's Batal Barov. One is Ein Bo Shava Pruta, and the other is Nichnas Yushalayim V'yotza. Now, Maisa Sheni, once it was brought inside the mechitzos, the walls of Yerushalayim, and then it was brought outside of Yerushalayim. That's called Nichnas V'yotza. And in the Braisa, Nichnas Yerushalayim V'yotza is batel, which means there's no possibility of pinyon. If there was a possibility of pinyon, it would be a Dover Sheish L'Matirin, and it would not be batel. And the Gemara had claimed earlier that Maisa Sheni in the Braisa is batel because since there's no possibility of Pijon, of being Machal the Maisa Sheni, once it entered into Yerushalayim and left Yerushalayim. Now the question is, what is the nature of that Isur? And the Gemara assumes that it is an Isur Drabonon. The Gemara tried to assume that it was Tomei, and the Gemara now is assuming that it's Tahar. And that we discussed in the previous year. Eloli Olam Bitar. The Braisa is dealing with a case of Maisa Sheni that went into Yerushalayim, left Yerushalayim, and it's Tahar. Umay Yotza. But now we want to reinterpret the word Yotza. And the answer is Dinafel Mechitzos. That the Chomos Yerushalayim fell, the walls around Yerushalayim fell down. And that's considered as if it had left Yerushalayim. In other words, once the Maisa Sheni has been brought inside the Mechitzos of Yerushalayim, inside the walls, then at that point the Mechitzos were up and then subsequently they fell. So when it says they left Yerushalayim, it doesn't mean that they physically left Yerushalayim, but they left that din of Mechitzos. And the Torah tells us in Sefer Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, in the Parasha Maisa Sheni, Lifnei Hashem, that Maisa Sheni has to be eaten within Yerushalayim that is surrounded by Mechitzos, within the Mechitzos of Yerushalayim. Once the walls, the Mechitzos of Yerushalayim have fallen down, then it's no longer Lifnei Hashem, and the Maisa Sheni cannot be eaten in Yerushalayim. Now, the only option of possibly eating a mixture, if let's say this Maisa Sheni fell into Chulin in Yerushalayim, would be theoretically the option of Pidgeon. However, once this Maisa Sheni has been inside the Yerushalayim, it is now Mufka, it's excluded from Pidgeon. And now, since there's no other way of being matir the Maisa Sheni, there's no Dover Sheish Lo Matir in here, therefore, the only way to be matir the Maisa Sheni is through Bittel. And that's what the Mishnah, that's what the Braisa on Amud Aleph meant when it said that the Maisa is Batel Bechulin, Batel Barov, because it's a Dover Sheish Lo Matir in. Once it entered into Yerushalayim, meaning there were Mechitzos at that time, it's Mufka from Pidgeon. So the Gemara now asks, V'amar Rava Mechitzo Lechol Do Raisa, but Mechitzos Liklot Derabonon. Now as you talk about the din of Yerushalayim, Mukaf Mechitzos, as far as Maisa Sheni is concerned, that's certainly a Do Raisa, but the halacha that once Maisa Sheni has entered into the Mechitzos Yerushalayim, it cannot, there's no possibility of chil, of being poda the Maisa Sheni. That din is only Drabbanan. That's called Mechitzos Liklot, which literally means the Mechitzos are absorbed the Maisa Sheni. And that halacha, that once the Maisa Sheni is entered into Yerushalayim, within the walls of Yerushalayim, it can never be redeemed, once it's removed from the city, that din is only derabbanan. Now, we know, as a general rule, that when the Rabbanan institute various gzeros, they do so with limitations. Torah law is absolute, but the Rabbanan, if it's a gzeros, the Rabbanan, it has very often limitations. So the Gemara argues, v'chi gazru Rabbanan, when did the Rabbanan make this gzeros that once by Sesheni was bifnim, inside the mechitzos, it can no longer be subject to chilul, even if you take it out of Yerushalayim, ki isnu lemechitzos, as long as the mechitzos are standing, but ki lesnu lemechitzos, lo gozu rabbanon. If the walls of Yerushalayim are down, then the rabbanon did not institute this decree that forbid the possibility of chilul ha-maisa, therefore the b'risa, the maisa sheni, is a, according to the Gemara's Kasha now, should be a Dover Shesh Matirin. Why? Because if ki lesnu mechitzos lo gozru beirabon, it means the Meiser is nitfas in pigeon, and therefore it should not be batel. So again, what we're saying is that the Iser of Pidgin Meister Sheni, once it entered Yerushalayim, is only, and left Yerushalayim, is only Derabbanan. And therefore the Gemara thinks that we should assume, Al Pi Svara, that this Gzeira Derabbanan only applies when there's a possibility of eating these peros in Yerushalayim, and that is because the mechitzas are still standing. If the mechitzas have fallen, then the Rabbanan have no reason to aser pigeon, to exclude pigeon of Maaser Sheni that left Yerushalayim once it had already entered into Yerushalayim, because now there's no possibility of achila. There are no mechitzos. If there's no possibility of achila and no mechitzos, the Rabbanan presumably would allow pigeon. And if that be the case, then we're stuck again. Why is the Braisa insisting that there's bittel of Maaser Sheni Barov? We're talking about a case in which the mechitzos have fallen, and therefore they lent the peros, the Maaser Sheni, lend themselves to chilul, and the Gzeira D'Rabbanan doesn't apply in this case, because again, as we said before, there's no possibility of achila. Says the Gemara, lo plug rabbanon. That's funny, because this lo plug rabbanon is a chumrah, but it's a chumrah upon which we can base a kula of bittel. So what's the lo plug de rabbanon? Lo plug de rabbanon bein isnu lemechitzos, bein lesnu lemechitzos. In other words, whether the mechitzos are up or not, the rabbanon excluded pigeon. And that's a low plug. Really, logically, if there are no mechitzas, they shouldn't have instituted this Iser of pigeon, because, as we said before, there's no possibility of achila if there are no mechitzos, but they made a low plug. And therefore, even if the mechitzos are down, nevertheless, the Rabbanan are going to exclude pigeon. And that's again because the Peres Maaser Sheni were already inside Yerushalayim, within the Mechitzas Yerushalayim. And now the Mechitzas are down, there's no possibility of Achila, and there's no possibility through Lo Plug of Pidgeon, and therefore it's a Dovar She Ein Lo Matirin, and therefore it can be Batel, it can be Batel Barov. The Gemara now says, let's go back to the original kash that we had on Chizkiah from the Braisa. Rav Huna bar Yehuda Omar Rav Sheshes Chadok Toni. The Braisa had mentioned two cases of Maaser Sheni that are batel barov because there's no possibility of pigeon. The first of those were Maaser Sheni Shein Bo Shavu Pruta. That was a kasha on Chizkiah because Chizkiah recommends being poda meister sheni shu pachos mishav pruta through mos harishonos. So the Gemara now says chadak tani meister sheni shein mosav pruta shenichnas yushalayim v'yotza. That when is it true that there's no possibility of pidyon? That's when the meister sheni is less than a pruta and it entered into Yerushalayim and left Yerushalayim, which we said if the mechitzas fell down, then and that's called yotza, then the Rabbanon prohibited pidyon. So the Gemara says, Amai, let's go through the logic. Why is there bittul and no possibility of pidyon? We don't understand that. Let's bring it back inside the city of Yerushalayim and eat it there. And the answer is, you can't eat it there because it didn't fall mechitzos. The mechitzos fell, and it's not lifnei Hashem, and therefore there's an iser of achila of peres meister sheni in the city of Yerushalayim. V'nifrike. So why can't you be podet? Why do you insist that it's a davar she'ein lo matir, and that's why it's batel? Ha'amar Rava mechitzo lechel d'oraisa mechitzo liklod d'rabbanon. As far as this din, that once it entered into Yerushalayim, then it must be eaten, and there's no possibility of pidyon. Now, when the mechitzos fall, and there is no possibility of achila, then there should be a possibility of pidyon. The answer is that midrabbanan, they made a gzera, that if the walls of the city fall, then we're going to exclude pidyon. V'chi gazra abonon, ki isnu l'mechitzos, but ki lesnu l'mechitzos lo gazra abonon. When the Rabbanon made this gzera, that once by Sesheni was nichnas Yerushalayim, it's mufka from pidyon, that's only, logically, when the mechitzos are standing. But if the mechitzos are down, why would the Rabbanon make such a decree? Again, the Yesoda says that there's no pidyon because there's achila, there's no achila. And the Gemara answers, as we saw before, lo plug Rabbanon. So Rabbanon are going to give this absolute, flat, all-inclusive gzera that once the peros entered Yerushalayim and left Yerushalayim, they're not subject to pidyon. And your logic of ki lesnu l'chitzos lo gozer Rabbanon is excluded under the rule of lo plug, and that's why it's batel. Ihachi says the Gemara, my iria ain bo shava pruta, afili yesh bo shava pruta nami. Meaning, why does the Bryson discuss this one single case that's both pachos mi shava pruta and nichnas yishai v'yatza? Once we're saying that midrabanon, that with the falling of the mechitzos, there's an iser pidyon. If that be the case, then why do you have to add b'chadok tani ravuna? The ein bo shava pruta, afili yesh bo nami, even if it was worth a pruta, the same halacha would apply, that since it was in Yerushalayim, left Yerushalayim, therefore when it re-enters, it's not subject to pidyon. Says the Gemara, lo mi boy ka'omar, lo mi boy yesh bo dekolton le mechitzos. The Brisa wants to tell you a lo mi boy, no, it's from the simple case to the more, to the greater Chiddush case. In the case of Yesh Bo Shava Pruta, now we understand the Kolton Le Mechitzos. Since the Peros that are worth a Pruta entered into Yerushalayim, therefore there's no possibility of Pidyon. Again, Mirabonin, even though now the walls of Yerushalayim are down. Avol ein bo. I might think that if it's less than a shava pruta, emelo koltu le mechitzos, maybe the mechitzos of Yerushalayim were not kolit, and therefore can be subject to pidyon. Because even though b'rabbanon they instituted this gzera that nichnas v'yotza is ein bo pidyon, but they wouldn't institute in a case of pachos shava pruta. Because there the possibility of pidyon is through mos harishonos, as we saw in Chizkiah. And that's what we call a davar sheino matzui. In other words, since there is a possibility of pidyon here through mos harishonos, since, and that's a Dover Sheh Eino Motzui, the Rabbanan's Takana, that's called Milsal Shlicha L'Gods, Rabbanan would not apply, and therefore Lo Kultulei Mechitzos is Memela, there's a Heter Pigeon, and it's not Batul Barov. Again, this is all to explain the Havamina of a Nichnas V'Yotze Mishalim and Pachos Mishalim and Pruta. Why the combination thereof? So he's telling you to low me boy. If it's a Shava Pruta, then for sure we can apply the logic that there are Bonan Asid Pigeon when the Mechitzas fall. But I might think that the Rabbanan Gzeru would not include a case of Aimbo Shava Pruta because that's a Milsalo Shchicha. And in that case, they would allow for the very strange and unusual kind of pigeon on Mos HaRishonos. The Bryce wants to teach me. No, even in this case of a Maisa Sheni Shembo Shava Pruta, the Rabbanan applied their yardstick of Lo Plug, and the Takonis Chacham was that the Mechitz will be Koltos, and if there's no possibility of pigeon, and therefore it's a Dover Shein Lo Matirin, and therefore it's Bato Barov. So that's the lomi boy ka'amar. And now the Gemara is going to discuss the halacha of pachos mishava pruta head on. Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa is going to look at the pasuk of Pidyon Maisa Sheni, where it says, Vayukachom Zayin, Im Gaol Yigal Ish Mimasro, and then it says, Chamishiso Yosef Olav. So why does the Pasuk emphasize Mimasro, his Maser? And the Drasha is Mimasro, Velol Kol Masro. Amongst, or part, a segment of his Maser can lend itself to Geula, to Pijon, but not all of his Maser. And what is this coming to exclude? Prat la Maser Sheni, She'ein Bo, Shove Pruta. You cannot be Poder, Im Gol Yigal, that Geula process, that Chiul process, cannot apply to Maser Sheni, She'ein Bo, Shove Pruta. It's not included in Pijon Maser Sheni. And therefore, if you went ahead and you were poda it, that kedusha is not transferred over to the matbea. And all this is because the Torah adds the word mi ma'asro, and that's coming to exclude the case of ma'aser shein shein bo shava pruta. And in such a case, there is no pigeon. And that's where Chizkiah, again, just to reiterate, comes up with his hamtzayas chidush, that although you can't be poded on a coin, but if the coin was already used for pigeon master sheni and has now a little bit room left, that's called Mos Rishonos, then for sure you could be poded the master sheni shembo shava pruta. Itmar, we learned, Rav Ami Omar Ein Bo, Rav Asi Omar Ein Bechumsho. When we talk about the fact that this fruit, this produce, is less than a Shava Pruta, so Rav Ami, the first opinion here, takes this on a very simple level, the way we've been interpreting it until now, that the Miser itself, that you want to be Poda, has to have the value of a Pruta. If it doesn't have the value of a Pruta, then you cannot be Poda. Rav Asi Omar, Rav Asi says something different. Ein bechumsho. And that's what, whereas Rav Ami says ein bo, ein bechumsho, shava pruta. In other words, if the miser itself has a shivri shava pruta, that's not enough to facilitate the possibility of pigeon. You've got to have the miser worth a shava pruta plus. What's going to be that X plus? And the answer is that the Chomesh has to be a Shava Pruta. If the Chomesh is not a Shava Pruta, then the Torah excludes this from Pidyon. In other words, the Maisa, therefore, would have to be worth 4 Prutos in order to be Poda. that Maisa. That would be the barest minimum, would be the value of 4 prutos. If and only if the Maisa is worth 4 prutos, then its Chomesh is also worth a pruta. So you have 4 prutas worth of Maisa. The Chomesh now is 1. That's a full pruta. So then you could subject this Maisa Sheni to Pidyon. But if, let's say, instead of 3 prutos, it's only worth, instead of 4 prutos, it's only worth 3 prutos, then the Chomesh of 3 prutos is less than a pruta. 20% of 3 is less than 1. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Bo, this is an old machlokes. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Ein Bechumsho. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, if the maser itself is worth a pruta, you could be machalit. According to Reish Lakish, you would need a minimum requirement of maser worth 4 prutos in order to allow to facilitate pidyon. Meisve, this brisa is going to support the shita of Ravami, which was the intuitive shita that it all depends how much the maser itself is worth, how much that pri is worth. Maser sheni she'ein bo shava pruta. In the case of maser sheni, which he can't be poda, he cannot be poda because it's not worth a pruta. Now, you may say that let him wait until he goes up to Shalayim and eat it there, or you could say let him add this Maaser Sheni to other produce of Maaser Sheni in order to calculate a pruta's worth. Dayo sheyomar hu vechumsho mechulol al Maaser Rishonos. This is Chizkia. Finally, we find Chizkia in a brisa. That means, instead of requiring him to take this fruit and eat it to Shalayim and exclude him completely from Pidyon because it's not worth a Shav Pruta, and instead of forcing him to be mitzarif it together with other fruits and make up a pruta, you don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is make a declaration that let this pidyon be chal on mos or rishonos, on those original mos that we use for pidyon, and there's still room left in the ma. So the Gemara says, bishlema, this makes sense. Lemanti Omar Ein Bechumsho. That, just one second here. I thought the Gemara was going to defend the intuitive pshat of Ein Bo. No, the Gemara is defending Reish Lakish's interpretation of Ein Bechumsho. Is Lemanti Omar Ein Bechumsho Hainu the Ketoni Dayo? Oh, okay. Rabosai. What we have to do is we have to emphasize the word dayo here. It's dayo sheyomar hu vechum shemachul al mos rishonos. The implication of the word dayo is that there's some chidush over here. And what is the chidush? The afal gav debididei isbe. Even though the meiser itself is worth a shavah pruta, but kevin dechum she leka, there's not a shavah pruta in its chomesh. Therefore, it's impossible to be mechalin on a matbea. And the only possibility of doing this chilul, is on mos or rishonos. Is shapir, now we understand the word dayo. However, l'man diomar ein bo, which means that the braisa is talking about a case of maisheni that doesn't have a shav pruta in and of itself, my dayo. What's the chiddush here that justifies why the Brisa used the word dayo? Dayo sheyomer hu v'chom shemukol mos rishonos. I mean, that's according to the Man Yomer ain't bo. That's exactly what the Brisa is telling us, reflecting the shita of Chizkia. So again, let's just go over this extra word dayo here. If you hold ain v'chom sho, then there's a chiddush in the word dayo that even though the maser itself has a shava pruta, but chumshe leka, there's no shava pruta's worth in the chomesh, is therefore he efshal lechala matbeh b'fnei atzmel almos harishonos. Shaper, then everything fits into place. That's the dayo over here. But if you're going to say ain't bo, so why do I need the word dayo? Kasha, the Gemara ends this off with a kasha. Now, once we're talking about the laws of Chomesh, so the rest of this sugya is going to address the laws of Chomesh. Iboilahu, the Gemara has the suffix now. In the case of a person who's being poda maisa sheni, his own maisa sheni, where the din is that he has to add a chomesh in order to be mechalit on, you know, the madeos, the tiva that he's using for chil is going to have to be worth not equal to the maisa sheni is being poda, but a chomesh 20% more than the maisa sheni. So the Gemara Suffolk is the following: chumsha milago or chumsha milabar. How do you calculate that chomesh? Is it mibifnim or mibachutz? From the inside or from the outside? If it's from the inside, it means that the principal, the Karen, is worth, let's say, 20. So that's what the Maisa Sheni is worth. Now, through the process of Pijon, you're going to add 20% of that 20. That's called a Chomesh. Which would, 20%, one-fifth of 20, is going to be 4. And that's what he's going to have to add in order to get Karen v'Chomesh. Or should we say no? That chomesh is milabar. That means he adds a chomesh, a fifth from the outside. The chomesh itself has to have a shear of chamishis me'akeren v'chomesh yachad. In other words, what that X, which represents the value of the chomesh, when it's added to Y, the maaser sheni itself, then the chomesh is 20% of that addition. So, for example, if you started with maaser sheni of 20, and you add 5, then that 5 represents 1/5 of 20 plus 5, of the totality of the keren and chomesh. So that you want to get to that number, which is keren and chomesh together, and you want to make sure that the chomesh is 1/5, 20% of that number. So whereas if you hold chum shemilago, then if you have maaser of 20, you add 4, because 4 is 1/5 of 20. If on the other hand you hold chumsha milabar, you're going to have to add 5, because you need the 5 plus the 20 to create a 25, and the chomesh now is 5 over 25, which is 1 over 5. Omar Avina Toshma, I have a raya from a Mishnah in Erchin, which addresses the case of pigeon stay achuza. And we'll say just a few short words about pigeon stay achuza. This is a Mishnah in Erchin on Chav Zayin, and it's addressing the case of a sode achuza shel hegdesh. What does it mean, a stay achuza shel hegdesh? It means that this individual had inherited this field, and that means that that he was magdish this soda, and the halacha now is that the owner who was magdish this soda has the rights to be poda that soda. Again, this is only, I have to add one point here, this is only when Yovel ain't a Noik. Okay, so if there's no din of Yovel, there's, for whatever whatever the conditions of Yovel are not fulfilled, then the pigeon of this Sadeh would be equal to, in other words, how much does he have to pay in order to be Poder Sadeh, which would be equal to the value of the sale of this Sadeh in the Mikdash, because again this Sadeh is Hegdesh, and the Torah stipulates that the original Bailim, if he wants to redeem this Sadeh, then he's got to add a Chomesh. Now there's an auction going on, and there are bidders in the Mikdash, and each bidder is trying to gain the rights of being Poder, the Hegdesh of Steachuza. But despite that fact, we're going to give first dibs to the original owner. Now, the original owner has to pay a fifth in addition. So even though, let's say, in the auction for this Sadeh, the Acher, Ploni Almoni, whoever he is, outbid the original Bailim. He offered, instead of, instead of 25, he offered 20, 26. Then technically we should have given him the rights to be pulled to this Meiser Sheni, this Steachuza. However, since the Bailim with his bid is going to have to add a Chomesh, so then he becomes the highest bidder. And again, we're trying to protect Hegdesh from any hefsid, any loss. So the more money we could rake in for this pigeon, the better it is. So again, just to summarize, the amount of money which the original Bailim have to pay in order to be pulled to this Stay Hegdesh, Stay Achuzah Shal Hegdesh, is more than the actual price that he offers to buy this Stay Achuz, because we're going to have to add on to, tag on to him an extra chiyuv of a Chomesh, because that's the law in Pidgin Hegdesh, that Pidgin Hegdesh requires an additional Chomesh. So the Mishnah says, in Erechin HaBailim Omrim B'Esrim, the original owner is offering 20, V'chol Adam, and somebody else is offering Esrim, he's matching that price, is HaBailim Kodmim, Nesha Mosifim Chomesh. We want the Hegdesh to get the best deal in town. Omar Echad HaReelai Esrvi Echad. Now this individual, who's not the Bailim, outbids the Bailim. He matches the offer of 20 by jacking it up to 21. Now he's the highest bidder. And here we're on the Dalet Amud Aleph. HaBailim Nosnim Esrvi V'Sheish. The Bailim, since they offer 20, and they have to match the highest bidder, which is 21. They'll add 5 to the 21 and jack it up to 20, 26. In other words, the Bailim do not have the right to take away from the Keren, offer less than the Keren that was offered by another bidder. That's again a din of Shalola Hafsid Hegdesh. So automatically, the Baal Bais is going to have to match that offer and offer 21. And on top of that, we're going to add a Chomesh. Now, the Mishnah goes on to give us other examples of applications of the same principle. Namely that the Bailim have to offer the highest bid, but the Chomesh always remains the same. That X, which is a Chomesh, which in our scenario is 5, that's going to remain constant. And the Mishnah goes on, it says, Eser Mushnayim, if the other bidder offers 22, Habaylam Nosim Eser Vesheva, they'll have to pay the 22 to match the other bidder, and we always add 5. Eser Vesholim, Asholosh Habaylam Nosim Eser Mushmona, if the highest bidder is 23, then he, the Bailam, match that and add 5 is 28. And be Esrim V'arba is Abailim Nosnim Esrim V'teisha. If the highest bidder offers 24, you add 5 to 24, you get 29. Esrim V'chamesh Abailim Nosnim Shloshim. If the highest bidder offers 25, then the Bailim will pay 50. I'm sorry, will pay 30. Which means we always add that same constant chomesh, no matter what the price that's being paid by the Baal Bayis is. In any event, what we see clearly here is l'fisha'ein mosif chodesh al ilui shel zeh, but shmamina dechum shemilabar shmamina. We said that there are two opinions about how to calculate the chomesh. If you hold chumsha milabar, then it's going to be 5. If you hold chumsha milago, it'll be 4. And the very fact that the Mishnah here is requiring 5 is simply a reflection of the shita of chumsha milabar, which was the second opinion that says that you have to add a number, we'll call it X, to the Meiser Sheni. Then that number X, when it's added to the Meiser Sheni, will be a fifth. That X will be a fifth. So if you have 20, you add 5, and therefore the 25 makes the additional 5 to be 1/5. And the Gemara says, Kitanoi, although you brought a raya from the Mishnah that chumsha milabar, I want to bring a raya from a braisa that there's a Tana who holds chumsha milago. And therefore, Kitanoi, it remains an outstanding debate between the Achronim, between the Tanoim and then the Amoroim. What does it say in this braisa of Yosaf Chamisha So Olav? The Torah says that you're chayv to pay Chomesh. Shehu v'chomsho chamisha divrei Rabbi Yoshia Rabbi Yonasan Omer chamishaso chumsho shel keren. These two deos, that of Rabbi Yoshia and that of Rabbi Yonasan, are fighting it out about whether chumshin is milago or chumshin milabar, because the first Tana, which is Rabbi Yoshia, said that it's got to be a chomesh milabar, such that if you add the chomesh to the keren, you'll end up with the fact that the chomesh is 1/5. So that's called shehu v'chomsho chamisha. That after you add the chomesh to the principal, to the keren of peros, which have the status of maaser sheni, then you get the same fraction of 1/5. And that's called chumsha milabar. And then Rabbi Yonasan says, no, chamishaso chumsho shel keren, which means that the fifth should have the same value as keren. What does that mean? That doesn't make any sense. So the first Tana says, shehu v'chumsho chamisha. It means that the Meiser plus its fifth together will make up 5 equal parts. And this is called milago, or milabar, which means that if the keren is 4 zuz, the chomish is going to add another zuz, which means that when you add the keren and the chomish is 1/5. And that's what Rav Yoshia says here when he says, hu v'chumsho chamisha. Basically what you can do is, if you have, if it's worth 4, add another fifth, so you have 5 equal parts, and one of them that you added, which is called the Chomesh, is 1/5 of these 5 equal parts. That's fine. That's the Shita of Rav Yoshia. And Rav Yonasan Omer, Chamishiso, Chumsho, Shel Keren. It means a Chomesh of the Keren, which is called Milego. Okay, that's called Chomesh Milego. So we have here, in effect, a Machlokas Tanoim, Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonasan, which is really two tzadim in the Boilahu. And again, if we say Chomsho Milego, then we're talking about 4, and we're talking about 4 to 20, or 1 to 8, 10, so not 1. Iboilu, the Gemara has a suffix, and this is a very lumpish suffix. Chomesh, mi akev o loma akev. In other words, if he was poder the vice of Sheni with the Karen, and he hasn't yet added the Chomesh, is that pinion valid? Do we say Eino Ma'akiv, the pigeon is valid, and even though he didn't add the Chomesh, once the pigeon is Chal, the Peros are no longer Peros Ma'aser Sheni, and you're allowed to eat them outside of Yerushalayim, he's going to have to add a Chomesh at some point. And that's called Eino Ma'akiv. Or should we say that until he pays the Chomesh, the pigeon itself is suspended, it's not chal, and therefore the Kedushas Peros is still 100% intact. You can't eat it outside Yerushalayim. And now the Gemara analyzes the two sides of this suffix. Arba b'arba parik. In other words, shall we assume that if you have Maisa that's worth 4 dinarim, that's arba, is you should be poda it for 4 dinarim, meaning the exact same price. Va'kenafshe mosif chomesh. And now the one who is poda his own peros has to add a chomesh. That's a separate chiyuv vis-a-vis hegdish. Alma, we see chomesh lo ma'akev. Okay, that's one side to say that the chomesh is not likuva, because the shava b'shava, that's what's required for redemption and chilul. He himself will have to add the chomesh later on, but that's not necessary as far as setting up the ikar chalos chilul. Or should we say odilma arba v'chamisha parik? You know, when the Torah gives us this gzeiras hakosuv, it means that you should judge the chomesh as if it were part of the Meiser, and equal to 1/5 of the Meiser, a Chomesh Mi'akev. And up until that point, we haven't determined how much of a pigeon do you have to offer. And the answer is that you have to offer the pigeon that's keneged the Karen, but also keneged the Chomesh. Is Amar Avina Tashma? Let me see if I can determine one way or the other by looking into Masechta Dmai. And there it says, Hadmai ein lo chomesh v'ein lo bir, which means that a person who's in Poder Ma'aser Sheni of Dmai, he doesn't have to add a chomesh to the value of the, on top of the value of the fruits. V'ein lo bir, and likewise, there's no din of bir Ma'aseros. In other words, even after Igia, the Zman HaBir has already passed. Nevertheless, there's no obligation of Bir. And the reason for that is because we're talking about Dmai, and within the framework of Dmai, we did not institute this regulation, this requirement of Bir. And the Gemara wants to be medayik from this brisa, ha keren yeshlo. You're telling me that the Dmai doesn't have a chomesh, which means you don't have to add 20% if you're being poder the Dmai. So the Gemara says, what do you mean ha keren yeshlo? my taima. What's the logic to say that in the case of Dmai, he's going to give the Ikar Maisa Sheni, and there's no din of Tosefes Chomesh? It must be the Keren Dma'akiv Bidraisa Isa Bidrabanan Chomesh Lo Ma'akiv Bidraisa Lesa Bidrabanan. That if you're talking about the din of Maisa Sheni that has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, then we understand very well that the requirement of a Chomesh is Li'ikuva. It's absolutely indispensable, and therefore even Bidi'evet, if they went ahead and they did such a thing, and with instead Dmai is going to be paralleled, is going to be organized and established as a reflection, a mirror image of the Doraisa Halacha. And therefore, we're going to say the following. Since Midoraisa, the Chilul of Maisa Sheni Mamish, Maisa Sheni Vadai, requires the most upon which you're being Mechal to be equal in value to the Maisa Sheni, and that's called Ma'akev, because if you don't have a coin that's worth the value of the Maisa Sheni, then that pigeon is invalid. But, and therefore again in Tmai, which is patterned after the Doraisa Halacha, you will also need, in order to be pod to this Dmai, that it be that the most that you're using for pigeon will be equal to the value of the Dmai. But Chomesh, here we see very clearly in this Mishnah in Dmai that there's no responsibility to pay in the case of Dmai to pay the Chomesh. And why is that? Because since Chomesh, even on a Deraisa level, vis-a-vis Maisa Sheni Mamish, Maisa Sheni Vada is Loma Akvi Midaraisa. In other words, the pigeon is Chal even without the additional Chomesh. And therefore, since the Chomesh is not Likuva, is lesser Bidarabun in the case of Tmai, we don't need the Chomesh. So it comes out that we can prove from this Mishnah in Tmai that giving over a Chomesh in the process of Ptiyas Maisa Sheni is not Miakev. And if he was Poda with the equivalent amount, Shav B'Shav, meaning the Prut is worth the Prut is equivalent to the value of the Peros, then that pigeon is Chal. However, and the peros are no longer kadosh b'kedushas ma'isa sheni, can be eaten out of Yerushalayim. But there's a separate obligation to pay to pay the chomesh, a special chovas gavra, if you will. So on this issue as to whether or not chomesh is ma'akev, the Gemara insists lema ketanoi that this is a machlokas tanoim. A person went ahead, he was poda maisa sheni, nosan as a keren, velo nosan as a chomesh. He only offered as a chalipin, so to speak, as an exchange for the maisa sheni, its own value. He did not add the chomesh. Is Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yochel, or Yochal, he's allowed to eat those pears out of Yerushalayim even before the giving of the Chomesh, because he was motzi the Kedushas Peros, and now they're chulin based on the exact value of the Maaser Sheni, even without a Chomesh. And that's the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, that Chomesh is not Ma'akiv. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lo Yochal. Rabbi Yeshua says he has no rights to eat these Peros until the Chomesh is given over. Because the Chomesh is Likuva, and the whole pigeon is fluked up if the coin didn't reflect an extra Chomesh. Omar Rebbe. Rebbe wants to come now and offer a final ruling, a Psak Lidina. Nirim Divrei Rabbi Eliezer B'Shabbos, V'Divrei Rabbi Yoshua B'Chol. on Shabbos where there's a mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos, we can be matir eating these peros even before he gave a chomesh. That's reflective of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. But Rabbi Yeshua says, Bechol, that during the weekday, we can pass like Rabbi Yeshua during the weekday, and that means that b'mosachol yesh lifso kidas Rabbi Yeshua, and ha'ose lechlas ha'peres ad sheyafrish es ha'chomesh. So it means that according to Rabbi Yeshua, you cannot be mafrish pipoda until you mafrish the chomesh, and therefore you're not allowed to eat the peros outside of Yerushalayim. Mi da Omar, since Rabbi said nirim divrei Rabbi Eliezer b'Shabbos, michlal de pligi Rabbi Eliezer b'Shua filu bechol. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer, who's matir, he's matir even during a weekday. He's matir these peros machila, even though he hasn't separated the chomesh. Umida gomar nirim tiv Rabbi Yeshua bechol michal de pligi afilu b'Shabbos, and it means that Rabbi Yeshua asks these peros machila even on Shabbos because he wasn't mafresh the chomesh. So the machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua's bein bechol, bein b'Shabbos, my love, behos varka miflugi. And before a papa is going to appear on the scene, the intuitive understanding of this machlokas is this issue that we've been discussing, to Rabbi Eliezer, sovar chomesh lo ma'akev, Rabbi Yeshua, sovar chomesh ma'akev. It means that Rabbi is willing to be makil, and he'll rely on Rabbi Eliezer, whose kula is that chomesh lo ma'akev, at least on Shabbos, for the sake of kvod Shabbos or onig Shabbos, will be matir. But in the case of chol, where we don't have this consideration of onig Shabbos and kvod Shabbos, we're going to go back to the chumra of Rabbi Yeshua that chomesh is mi'akev. Om Rav Papa lo. The Kuli Alma Chomesh Lo Ma'akev. Everyone agrees that you can be poda the peros on Shavyon without adding the Chomesh. And those peros now become Mechulolim. You can eat it outside the Yerushalayim even before the giving of the Chomesh. V'hocha, what's the machlokes here? B'chayshinon l'pshiusa komiflegi. Mar Sovermin Rabbi Yeshua was machmed b'chayshinon l'pshiusa. We're worried about a person who might not come through with his follow through with his obligation to give the chomesh. He'll put it out of his mind, and therefore they said, "Don't eat the fruits until you give the chomesh." That'll remind him that he's got to deliver the chomesh. Umar saw Rabbi Eliezer was making lo chayshin lepshiusa. The chacham warned choshish that the person will be negligent and fail to come forward and give the chomesh. Therefore, a person allowed to eat the peros of Maisa Shedi after the pidyon, even though it was nifta b'shavyon. And later on, he'll give the chomesh. On Rabbi Yochanan, akol modu behegdesh shechilel. Everybody would agree in the case of hegdesh, even if he hasn't yet given a chomesh for the pidyon, he was mechal the hegdesh b'shavyo. Is Rabbi Yeshua would agree that that pigeon is chal, and there's no reason to be choshesh that maybe he'll be poshea and he won't give the chomesh. And why is that so? Ho'il v'gizbarim tovim o'so b'shuk. Because the gizbarim are going to be after him to make sure that he pays up the chomesh. They'll meet him in the city, in the streets of the city, and they'll force him to pay the chomesh. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua would also agree, Hakol Modim, that the chilul of Hegdesh Bishavyo, even without giving the Chomesh, is a valid pigeon, even without paying up the Chomesh. So the Gemara asks, Akasha beHegdesh lo pligi, is it true that we don't find a machlokas with regard to Hegdesh? For Asanya, we have a braisa that says, with regard to Pidyon Hegdesh, the Machlokas Tanoim, v'nosan esakeren v'lo nosan lo esachomesh. If he only gave the gizbar a keren, but he didn't have the chomesh, Rabbi Lezer omer chilel, the peros, or whatever the hegdish is padui, and it's yotzel l'chulun, chacham omrim lo chilel. The pigeon is not chal, until such time as he gives a chomesh. So you see that even with regard to Hegdesh, we have the same issue, the same machlokas as to whether or not we have to wait for the Chomesh before the pigeon can possibly be effective. And on that machlokas, in that price, Amar Rebbe, Nirim Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Be Hegdesh, Divrei Chachamim, Be Maser. Here Rebbe says the following, I'm going to accept Rabbi Eliezer's Kula, with regard to Hegdesh, and that's because the Gizbar are going to go after him. He won't forget to bring the Chomesh. But I'm going to accept the other sheet against Rabbi Eliezer to be Machmir and require Chomesh in the case of Maser Sheni. Because otherwise, if we allow him to eat the Peros and validate the Chilul, he's going to forget, possibly, to bring and deliver the Chomesh because there's no one who's after him. So the Gemara now is Medayik, Midika Omar, Mida Omar, Rebbe says, Nirim Divrei Rabbi Eliezer Behegdesh. He appreciates, accepts the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, the Kula of Rabbi Eliezer in Hegdesh, but not in Maser. Michlal de Pligi Afilu B'Maser. It would seem that this Machlok Shim Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, even with regard to Pigeon of Maser. And that means that Rabbi Eliezer is matir, the peros, b'achila, even before the giving of the chomesh, because the chomesh is not ma'akev. And since Rabbi said, nirim divri chachomim v'maser, he accepts the chachomim in the case of maser, to be machmir, but not in the case of hegdesh. There, the pigeon will be chal even without the chomesh, michlal, the inhu, pligi afilu b'ir, Hegdesh, it seems the Chachamim must be arguing with Rabbi Yoshua, even in the case of Hegdesh. Why? Because the Chachamim, we accept the Chachamim Shita in Maser, but not in Hegdesh. So it means that even in the case of Pidgin Hegdesh, they hold that the Hegdesh is not Yotzil Chum before he gives the Chomesh. Since Machlokas now with regard to Pidgin Hegdesh, not only with regard to Pidgin Maser, and how could Rabbi Yochanan say Hakol Modim that in the case of Hegdesh everybody agrees the pigeon is chal without giving a chomesh? So at this point in the discussion, the Gemara is forced to reiterate, or shall I say, reformulate the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. Eli Itmar Hochi Itmar Om Rabbi Yochanan Hakol Modim b'Shabbos b'Hegdesh Shechilul. In other words, everybody agrees that if a person was poda hegdesh on Shabbos and he didn't give the chomesh, the pigeon is chal. That's everybody agrees it. And the reason for that is because there are two different logical reasons that compel us to be mekel. Chadu d'chsiv v'karosel Shabbos, owning for the sake of owning Shabbos, we can be mekel. He can eat the hegdesh after the pigeon. V'od, and furthermore, hoel v'gizborim tovim oso b'shuk. Because the Gizbarim are after him in the marketplace. So that's what we're saying here, that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't mean to say that all the Tanoim, he never meant to say that all the Tanoim would agree that this pigeon Hegdesh, even without the delivering the Chomesh. That's not the case. So even though we've established based on the Braisa that the Chachamim would suspend the pigeon of Hegdesh without or prior to the giving of the Chomesh, nevertheless they agree that in the case of Shabbos, we're going to allow for the sake of owning Shabbos to eat the fruits of this Hegdesh, because it's only it's only a din drabbanon, that the pigeon of Hegdesh without the chomish is ma'akev. In other words, that the chomish is ma'akev. It's only a drabbanon because we're afraid that maybe he won't cough up the. Everybody agrees fundamentally the chomish is not likuva. And in the case of this drabbanon, of this isa drabbanon, we're not going to impose that Iser on Shabbos. That's what we have here in the sugya. Now the Gemara brings another question about Hegdesh. Omar Ami Bar Chama, Hare Amru, the Chacham said this is in Bechoros. Hegdesh Eino Mischal Al HaKarka, which means that if you want to be Mechalel Hegdesh, you can't do it onto Karka, you can only do it onto Metaltalin. Derachmona Omar V'Nosan HaKesef V'Kom Lo. And Kesef is coming to exclude Karka. Oh, now we have to ask the question about Chomsho. If you were Podeh Hegdesh, and now you want to be Podeh the Chomesh, in the context of Pidgin Hegdesh, you're adding a Chomesh. And the question is, now that Chomesh has a din of Hegdesh, Can the Chomesh itself be Mischalel al Karka? When the Torah excludes V'nosan HaKesef V'Komlo, is that a reference only to the Keren? Or does it even include the Chomesh as well? Maushi Mischalel al Karka? Does this din that applies to the Keren, that Chil onto Karka is Mufka, apply equally to the Chomesh? That's the first suffix of Rami Bar Chama. Now Rabbi Bachama has another suffering, and all these fakers revolve around the status of Chomesh. Truma, person ate, Chas v'shalom, Mazar ate Truma b'shogeg. And in such a case, Eina mishtalemes ela minachulin. What does that mean? The person, this Zar, non-Kohen, who ate the Truma, has to bring food, which is called Peros of Chulin. And once he gives them to the Kohen, it has a shame truma. It automatically becomes truma. He should not give mos, which is very interesting, that cash to replace the lost truma of the Kohen is not acceptable, because the mos cannot become truma, or any other item, basically, any other merchandise, any other physical object other than foodstuff, begadim or so forth, cannot become truma, and therefore they cannot be used as payment for achilas truma b'shogeg. Derachmana Amar, the Torah says, v'nosan lakoin es hakodesh, dovar roi lios kodesh. In other words, you have to pay back to the Kohen something that becomes kodesh b'kdushas truma. Says Rabbi Bar Chama, chum shamau shish talim shalom min achulin. What's the status of Chomesh? Can it be... Does the payment of Chomesh have to be from Peros of Chulin that can become Truma? This din of Dovar Roy Lios Kodesh applies to the Chomesh as well, to the exclusion of Mos or Begadim, or the din of Eino Mishtalim Elim Achulin only applies to Karen, exclusively to Karen. There you need Peros that are Roy Leos Kodesh, but not as far as the Chomesh is concerned. Suffix number three. Maser ein mischal asimon. We know that the Torah says that mitzata kesev yodem chamonamar l'rabbis called over sheishal of tzura. There has to be a coin that has a seal on it, a mint on it. And therefore, if that coin doesn't have a tzura, it doesn't lend itself to chilul Peros Meiser Sheni. Is Chum Shom Mau, what's the status of the Chomesh? Is that also subject to the requirement, the limitation of Itzarta, Kesav Yadech, Dover Sheyeshal of Tzura? Is Mau Shizchal HaSimon? What happens to the Chomesh that was given, that you have to be Mechalel, not only the value of the Keren of the Peros, but also an additional value of 20% of the Chomesh, does that Chomesh require a Dover Sheyeshal of Tzura, or even an Asimon could be acceptable? Is Galgel Milsa, this question sort of rolled around, Umatul Kami de Rav, until it came in front of Rava, all these fakers, Amalahu, he said to his Talmidim, Amakra Olav. Whenever the Torah speaks about Chama, of Chomesh, it says, the Yosef Chamisha sa Olav. Olav means on to the Karen. And it means Larabos Chum Shokimoso, which comes to teach us that the Chomesh has the same status as the Karen itself. So all the dinim that apply and all the limitations and requirements that apply to the Karen apply to the Chomesh as well. I'm going to quote a Mishnah in Trumas in the sixth Perek, and from that Mishnah in Trumas I'm going to support Rava's equation between the Karen and the Chomesh. The Mishnah is speaking about a person who steals Truma from the Kohen, Hagonev Truma. Viloch, in the first case, the Truma is still intact, so now he's returning the Truma. But as a Ganov, he has to pay an additional penalty of Kefel. Is the Mishnah Paskins Mishalim Tashlume Kefel, when a Ganov who steals Truma has to pay Kefel? In other words, in addition to the Truma that he returns to the Kohen, the Truma that he stole, he has to pay another equivalent in value of the Truma, and that's called Dmei Truma, which means he pays in currency the equal value of the Truma that he stole. In other words, every Truma has a certain market value. It's a little bit less, or maybe even significantly less than Chulin. It's because of the law of supply and demand, very few people buy Truma, but nevertheless it has a certain market value, and that market value is what the Gazlan, the Ganav has to pay, I should say the Ganav, not the Gazlan, the Ganav has to pay out of pocket. That's the case where the Truma is intact, and he's only paying the Kefel out of pocket. Now, Ochla, if he ate the Truma, so the Ganav ate the Truma, and here Rashi says he ate a bishogeg. He didn't know it was truma, and therefore mishalim shnei kronim v'chomesh. He's got to pay again. Now we're talking about cash because the truma is gone. He's got to pay double the value of the truma that he ate. That's number one. That's kefel. And on top, he's got to pay a chomesh. Now, does he pay the chomesh twice, or does he pay the chomesh once? So the Mishnah establishes mishalim shnei kronim v'chomesh, not shnei chomshim, but one chomesh, which means he only has to pay the chomesh on the keren, but not on the chomesh. Is keren v'chomesh minachulin? And Karen, the Karen Dmei Truma. In other words, there are two Mechayivim here. There's the Mechayiv of Gneva, and there's the Mechayiv of Achila. Achila, in the case of someone who eats, he's a Zar who eats Truma B'Shogeg, that Achila itself engenders a Chiyuv Chomesh. Now, B'Toras Ganov, he has to pay Kefel. But the Chiyuv Kefel is for the Gneva, it's not for the Achila. And the Chiv Kefel for the Gneva in this case will only engender an obligation to pay twice the value of the Truma without adding the Chomesh. The extra Chomesh here is a result of the Achilas Truma B'Shogeg. Not because of the Gneva, but because of the Achila. And the Mishnah Paskins that the Chomesh, which he pays because of Achila, like anyone who eats, any Zar who eats Truma B'Shogeg, is Minachulin, which means that the same din, the same requirement that we saw in the case of Achila's Truma B'Shogeg, which is Eina Mishtalemes Ela Minachulin, in other words, a Dovar Roy Leos Truma, that requirement is going to apply to the Chomesh as well. And that says Ravina is going to support Rava, that the Chomesh is equal kimoso to the keren. Now that chiyuv of achila covers A, one keren, and B, one chomesh, because the Brisa assumes like Rava that, I'm sorry, the Mishnah assumes like Rava that the din of the keren is identical to the din of the din of the chomesh is identical to the din of the keren, which means you have to have a dovah roy lios kodesh, and therefore we're going to exclude mos and begadim and things like that. Oh, now we get to the second keren. The machayev of the second keren is betoras gneva, not betoras achila, but betoras gneva. And here he pays dmei truma, meaning he writes a check, and that check is the equivalent of the value of the truma in the marketplace, which, as we said before, is a slightly devaluated value. Ishma mina. What do we see from this Mishnah? That chumsho kimoso to support Rava. And just like the keren has to be paid from peros and not from currency, not from cash, so too the chomesh has to be paid from peros. It's got to be a double roi lios kodesh. It has the same din as the keren itself. Shma mina. Omar Rava. Gabi Gezel, in the case of a Chomesh, which the Torah adds on to the Chiyuv of Gezel, meaning we're talking about someone who steals from his friend. There's a whole new parasha in Vayikra Perkei. Someone steals from his friend and denies the suit against him, and he takes a shvut to support that kfir, that denial. Then later on he admits the truth. And the Torah says in such a case, Ksiv v'chamishasav Yosef Olav, he's got to add a chomesh to the original value. Now please note that the word chamishasav is in the Hebrew grammatical plural, and it means that sometimes a person will pay multiple payments of a chomesh. And how does that work out, says Rava? Usnan. There's a mission at the end of Bava Kama. We're talking about a person who steals, he's a gazlan from his friend, through kfira. And in addition to stealing, he denied the claim against him in Bezin. He took a shvur sheker, and then he confessed his crime. He now has to pay to the nigzal, keren v'chomash. Is Nasan lo, if he pays the nigzal as a keren, v'nishba lo al hachomesh, in other words, after he repaid the keren, the gazlan claimed that he already paid the chomesh, and he took a shvu until finally admits that he didn't pay the chomesh, is harezem mosiv chomesh al chomesh. Now he's going to have to pay, in addition to the value of the chomesh, he's going to have to add a chomesh onto the chomesh. It's 20% above the value of the chomesh itself. And this goes on and on and on. If he keeps paying for the first chomesh and denying the second chomesh with the shvuah, and then he admits he confessed to the second chomesh, he's going to have to add a third chomesh. Achi ismaita keren pochos mishav prut, until the point is that his denial and his shvuah is on less than a shavapruta. So he's being kofir on a chomesh that's not worth a shavapruta. There the Torah was not machayev him to add another chomesh. Gabi truma, ksiv, with regard to the chiyuv that the Torah imposed upon a zar who eats truma b'shogi, he has to add a chomesh. Ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkoga v'yosaf chamishoso olav. Here the Torah uses the Lashon Yochid. It's in the grammatical singular, not in the plural, as we saw in the case of a gazlan. But nevertheless, we're going to find a Mishnah in Trumas that's going to establish that even with regard to Achilas Kodesh Bishkoga, there is a possibility of multiple payments of Chomesh. Tanan, we have a Mishnah in the sixth parak of Shavuos that here too we're going to find multiple payments of Chomesh. Ha'ochel Truma B'Shogeg. If a man inadvertently, he's a Zar, and he eats Truma Mishalim Keren V'Chomesh, he has to pay the Kohen both Keren and an additional Chomesh. Echad Ha'ochel Echad Ha'shoses Ha'chsach. In whatever way and form he consumed this Truma, whether he ate it, whether he drank it, if it was a liquid Truma, or maybe he used it, in the case of Shemen Shel Truma, to anoint his body. Echad Truma Tahora, the Echad Truma Tmeya, in all these cases of a Zar who inadvertently used Truma of a Kohen and misappropriated the Truma, whether it's Truma Tahora, Truma Tmeya, is Meshalem. Not only does he pay the Keren, the principal, but he also Chumsha adds a Chomesh. And then the Mishnah establishes Chumsha de Chumsha, that it's possible in another situation where he pays a Chomesh on top of a Chomesh. In other words, let's say he paid the Kohen, the Keren, and the Chomesh as a result of his Achila. And now that extra payment of a Chomesh becomes Truma. As we said earlier, it has to be a Dovah Roy Lios Kodesh. Then he eats Bishgoga the Chomesh. He's going to have to pay now not only that Chomesh, its equivalent value, but also add another Chomesh to the first Chomesh. So we have both in the cases of Gzela of Truma and in the case of Gzela, meaning when there was a Tfias Mamon, and he denied the Tfiyah through a Kfira, and he took a Shvuah, and then he admitted he has to pay Chomesh, and that Chomesh could induce or generate a second Chomesh added for Nidim. So too, in the case of Achilas Truma V'Shogeg, once he pays the additional Chomesh, now that Chomesh itself is subject to generate another Chomesh. And all this stands in contrast to Ilu Gabi Maser, with regard to Maser Sheni, Lo michtav ksiv, lo misnatana, velo ibuye iboilat. We don't have any pasuk that indicates multiple payments of chomesh, nor do we find any mishnah, any source in the mishnah that if he goes and he's mechalel the first chomesh that he has to pay an additional chomesh for the payment of that chomesh. So again, we're talking about a person who was Mechalel the first Chomesh, which he gave as Maser, and now he has to add a Chomesh. We don't find that. And we don't find any Suffolk in anybody with regard to this question. If somebody was Mechalel as Maser Sheni, he's got to offer the value of that Maser plus the value of an additional 20%. Now, let's say he wants to take that chomesh, and he wants to be machal that. So he wants to take the kedushas maser sheni of the chomesh and transfer it onto something else. He doesn't have to add a chomesh onto that chomesh. There's no indication anywhere in the Torah or in any other source that a person is liable to give a chomesh on a chomesh. And therefore, we see clearly that the din regarding a chomesh on top of a chomesh, even though with regard to gzela or achilas truma, there's a halacha of chomesh al gabi chomesh, but not with regard to maser. Now the Gemara wants to know, gabi hegdesh, what about the case of hegdesh? There the Torah says, V'im ha-magdish yigal es beso, V'yosaf chamishoso, chamishis kesef erkecha. So we're talking now about someone who's magdish, a chefetz, whatever it was, and now he himself is poda the hegdesh, he has to pay an additional value of a chomesh. What's the din if later on he wants to be poda that additional chomesh? Does he have to add another chomesh onto that chomesh in the pasuk itself? It says chamishis, which is in lashon yachid. So we don't have any clarity from the pasuk itself whether he's chayev, whether he's liable to add a chomesh onto a chomesh. Utnan, we have in a mishnah, and this mishnah we'll see a little bit later on here in Bav Metzia, poda es hekdesho mosif chomesh. When a person is poda his own hekdesh, he adds a fifth chumsha tnan. It says a fifth. It doesn't say chumsha de chumsha, losnan. It doesn't mention a chomesh on top of a chomesh. And since the Mishnah doesn't mention it, it's unclear what's the chiyuv here. Does he have to add another chomesh when he's poda, when he's machal, that chomesh, chomesh al chomesh? So to machriya, in this suffix, the Gemara is looking for some sort of pasuk that would indicate that you have to pay a chomesh onto a chomesh. And we're going to look in Shruma, and then we're going to say by equation, by analogy, Hegdish has the same din of Truma, Gabi Truma Ksiv, V'yosaf, which means the pasuk seems to indicate V'yosaf, those he adds a chomesh. Gabi Kodesh Namiksiv V'yosaf. So we can make an equation analogy to Kodesh, because there too it says V'yosaf. And since with regard to Truma, we derive from V'yosaf, the extra Vav, that he adds a Chomesh onto a Chomesh, then the same law, the same requirement of Chomesh on a Chomesh, should apply to Hegdesh, because here too it says in Hegdesh V'yosaf, O Dilma, or should we perhaps say that there's a fundamental difference between Truma and Hegdesh? Because in the case of Truma, the Alfusa is Gabi Truma Ksiv V'yosaf. And Ishaklis Lei Levav D'V'yosaf V'shadis Lei Al Chamishoso Havilei Chamishosov. So if we take the Vav from V'yosaf and we add it to Chamishoso, it becomes Chamishosov, which means plural, and therefore you take a Chomish on a Chomish. But Gabi Hegdesh Ksiv, however, with regard to the case of Hegdesh, the Pasuk says V'yosaf Chamishis, which means one Chamishis, one Chomish, is Afagav D'chi Shaklis Lei Levav D'V'yosaf V'shadis Lei Al Chamishis is Sof Sof Havilei Chamishosov. In other words, it doesn't say chamishosav, because you're adding to the word chamishis in the case of truma. There it says chamishosav. So if you add a vav, it becomes chamishosav. And in the plural, it means a chomesh al gabi chomesh. But in the case of hegdesh, where it doesn't say chamishosav, it only says chamishis, we add the vav and it becomes chamishosav, but it's not chamishosav, and it's not the lashon rabim, and therefore we don't know, and can we derive the halach of chomesh al gabi chomesh? And this is the Gemara's safek. So we don't know, and that's what we're going to cover in Mitzvah tomorrow, whether the din of Chomesh al Gabi Chomesh applies in the case of Pidyon Hegdesh as it does in the case of Pidyon Truma. We'll stop here.